good to see everyone here. This morning we are going to be studying the subject of wisdom, so I want to ask you to turn to the book of Proverbs and get a mark and put there, because we're going to be spending some time in the book of Proverbs this morning. And also, we're going to be looking back at 1 Kings. There are a couple of points that I want to make from the book of 1 Kings, the third chapter, regarding King Solomon and his request that you heard read in your hearing a few moments ago. And in a moment we'll get to that. 1 Kings chapter 3. Good to see everyone here this morning. We have visitors with us. Thank you for being here. If you have any questions or comments regarding anything that you hear taught, see practiced, anything at all, we'd be glad to sit down with you and answer your questions, do the best we can, give you a Bible answer for the things that we do, the things that we teach. If you have any need to study the Word of God with us, we'd love to do that. We would love to sit down with you at your convenience, wherever you're comfortable, and study with you. We have tracts that are available in the vestibule as you're going out on both sides, and all of that is absolutely free for your taking. Just take anything and everything you want, anything that will help you in your study of the Word of God. We here strive with all of our being to follow God's Word, His way. And we hope that that's your desire. And hopefully, you know, we can work together, continually strive to study and learn more about God and His way for us, and be in heaven for all eternity at the end of life's way. That's what it's all about, isn't it? As I said, we're going to be talking about wisdom, the importance of wisdom this morning. How important is it that we have wisdom and practice it? There in 1 Kings chapter 3, in verse 9, "Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great nation or great people of yours?" You know, I've always found it interesting. People talk about Solomon being the wisest king, which he was, by the way. But not only that, we know that he asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. But you know, there was some wisdom there to begin with, wasn't there? He was wise to ask what he asked. There's wisdom. We need to have wisdom. By the way, there is something else important in this passage. Look at verse 7 of 1 Kings chapter 3, if you would. "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go or to come in." You know, the first step, I would say, to wisdom is humility. I need to realize that I don't have all the answers, that I cannot make it on my own, that I need God's help, God's instruction. I need God's grace. I need God. I need to understand that. I cannot make it on my own way. It just doesn't work that way. I have to depend upon God's way. God has provided a way for us. And if we accept it, certainly we can follow that, we can do that, but we have to depend on God. Wisdom begins with humility. Wisdom also then begins with seeking her. Seeking wisdom in the book of Proverbs is filled with such exhortations. This morning we're going to do three things. We're going to talk about how wisdom itself is defined. We're going to talk about how we can decide what is wise and what is not, and then we're going to make some applications. But you know, every single decision that you make in your life, every single decision you make impacts your life. That impact is going to vary depending upon the decision. But every decision does impact your life. One, and all it takes is one, friend. So, one unwise choice. Just one unwise choice can destroy your life. You don't believe me? You go down here in the streets of Little Rock and you ask some drug addicts. One unwise choice is all it took. Just one. You go find someone that's struggling in their marriage. They were married when they were young. They were married because in their mind they had to. Maybe they'd made an unwise choice. Committed fornication. The girl became pregnant. They got married. And now, years later, look at them. I'm not saying it happens that way all the time, but I tell you what, one unwise decision can destroy your life. It's happened too often, too many times. One unwise choice. The choice of your friends, who do you hang around? The choice of the places that you go to? The circumstances that you put yourself in? Drugs and alcohol, just one bad choice. Sex, just one bad choice. Education. Say, well, where does that fit in? Well, let me tell you something. People who are young, and it happens too often, they drop out of school. They think that they've got all the answers. They already know it all. So they drop out of school. They don't go to college. And the next thing you know, they're struggling just to make ends meet, living from day to day. And you say, well, you know, I'd be happy like that. Yes. You can be happy like that, but you know what else? You're going to have a family, more than likely. You're going to have other people to take care of. You're going to have other responsibilities. Where's the income going to come from? You've got more responsibilities than just yourself. We need to do all we can to prepare for life. Our worldview. The worldview that we have. How do we see the life of the world that we live in? Our career. What career do you decide on? You know what? A career, the choice that you make in the career field that you choose can destroy or help your life. That all depends. Your marriage. Choose the wrong person. Choose the wrong person and your life will be difficult forever. Religion. Choose to seek truth. Now again, as I said, we're going to look at three things this morning. We're going to define wisdom, we're going to talk about the characteristics of wisdom, and we're going to apply wisdom to life problems. So, let's begin by defining this particular term, wisdom. What is it? The Hebrew word, which comes from 1 Kings chapter 3, is this term, chokmah. The idea that is presented here is shrewdness or prudence. There are a lot of other things. Wisdom. I don't understand why it is in definitions they give the word that you're trying to define over and over and over again. That doesn't help me much. But we need to understand wisdom means to be shrewd or to be prudent. To know how to do stuff. Just simplify that. To know how to do stuff. The Greek term, sophia, by the way, sophie, knowledge. That which comes from knowledge. Wisdom is more than knowledge. Actually, wisdom, to simplify this, is what? Applied knowledge. We know how to do what we know. We apply our knowledge. So, really, I think that will help us. Think about it like this. Why do people wind up in trouble? Why? Well, first of all, they fail perhaps to look down the road of consequences. They don't think about the consequences of what this choice will have on their life. They don't give it a lot of thought. But maybe even if they do give it some thought, they say, well, you know what? It's not going to happen to me. You ask some teenage mother. One of the first things that will come out of their mouth, I didn't think it would happen to me. Ask a drug addict. Oh yeah, I knew that all these other people, they were getting hooked on this stuff, but I didn't think it would ever happen to me. We know the possible consequences, but we believe that we are exempt from those consequences. Although the Bible is very clear, be not deceived. Don't be fooled, friend. You will reap what you sow. The reason why people wind up in trouble is because they do not plan to mess up their life. They simply do not take certain measures. They do not act wisely and do the things that will prevent them from making a mess of their lives. They do not take steps of safety. They do not walk wisely, in other words. They do not walk circumspectly, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. Let me try to help with another illustration. Let's say that there's this big hole in the ground. By the way, there's a thing called the Devil's Hole in Nye County, Nevada. It's got some really clear water down in the bottom. In fact, you can't really tell it's even water down there. But if you're standing overlooking down, You see this clear water, but it's just a big hole in the ground. And they've got a fence around that thing. Why do you think they have a fence around it? They got a fence around it to keep people from falling in. Now picture that big hole, if you will, is sin. Okay? Wisdom is the fence that God put around the sin. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is like a fence around that which is wrong. Now you cross that fence, you're in dangerous territory. You've placed yourself in a position where sin is very likely. You're in danger. That's what wisdom is. To cross the fence is to enter the area of danger. In Proverbs 27 and verse 12, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. The wise man sees the no trespassing sign, and guess what? He doesn't trespass. The fool reads the no trespassing sign, crosses over the fence, and finds himself bitten by the dog. I think we can understand that illustration. Let's talk about some characteristics of wisdom. The only source for true wisdom is God. It comes from above. Proverbs 1, if you will, turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 5. In fact, let me just back up. Let's just begin in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Listen to him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. True wisdom comes from a proper respect or reverence for God. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. Wisdom comes from God. And as you read through that with me, I'm sure that you noticed all of the benefits of wisdom. You want to know how to stay out of trouble in your life and keep from ruining your life? Be wise. Now, I've got a couple of passages there, places that are not sources for true wisdom. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, and he goes on and he makes the observation to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It doesn't come from yourself. 1 Corinthians 1 verses 21 and 23, the Apostle Paul says that the wisdom of this world is not the wisdom that we need, is it? In fact, the wisdom of this world says that the wisdom of God is foolishness. So we need to realize that the world and ourselves, those are not places that we need to turn for wisdom. The value of wisdom, chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Now stop just for a second and think about that. The person who is pursuing material gain, that as his main object of life. He is a fool. But it's interesting, the person who has wisdom,
he gets what?
Material blessings, long life. How does he do that? Because he acts wisely, he obeys God. By the way, if you want to know how to have the happiest, most successful life possible and imaginable, then follow God's commandments. Live according to His law, His rules, and you'll be happy. And you will live a life that is full and complete. Yes, you will have trouble, you will have difficulties, but you'll always, in all the problems, find the peace of God that passeth understanding. And he goes on. And he says in verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Wisdom is certainly valuable, a valuable commodity. And it is essential to please God. In the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul makes that very clear. If you will, turn there with me. In order for us to be pleasing to the Lord, begin in verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. For what purpose, Paul? That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. What do we need in order to live such a life, to be pleasing to the Lord, and to be fruitful? We need knowledge, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. That's what we need. Wisdom is a key element in that. There are many other passages in the book of Proverbs. We don't have time this morning to read all of them. By the way, you know we could spend hours studying the subject of wisdom. Just looking at all the passages in the Bible, just reading them all, would take hours. Here are some quick points, quick characteristics of wisdom. Wisdom seeks knowledge and understanding. A fool doesn't. But the wise person does. He seeks knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 1:5 and 8:33. He learns from others. Someone says, well, you know what? The lessons that are learned in life by making the mistakes yourself are remembered. And that's true. And that is a way to learn lessons in life. Well, I'll tell you an easier way. Learn it by observing someone else make the mistakes and don't make the same one. Isn't that easier? Far better. Learn from others. In fact, let's read a few of these passages in this list. Proverbs 6 and verse 6, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Learn from ants. Look how busy they are. Follow their example. Work hard. Give a lot of effort in that which is profitable, that which is good. Don't be a lazy person. Lazy people are fools. Hard workers are wise. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. When you need help, when you need advice, listen. Don't be so proud as to reject opportunities to sit down with people who can help you. Listen to other people. Take wise advice. Seek it out. Proverbs 13 and verse 1. A wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A wise son heeds his father's counsel. That goes back to the point I was making earlier. You know, I made a lot of mistakes. I don't want my sons to make the same mistakes that I did. Doesn't that make sense? A wise son will heed his father's advice. Learn from others. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. He who walks with wise men will be wise. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good morals, Paul said. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Yes, it is true. Those with whom we associate influence us. Luke chapter 2 and verse 46, we find the example of Jesus Christ. Where was he? He was in Jerusalem with his parents. And the parents left, heading back home. And where, they began to look and couldn't find Jesus. Where was he? He was in the temple, listening and learning to scribes as they were reading and discussing the law. He learns from others, the wise man does. He receives rebuke, Proverbs 9, verses 8 and 9. He receives rebuke. A fool rejects rebuke. In fact, the passage says, "Do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you." That's happened to me before, by the way. That has happened. That happens to everybody who stands for truth and who tries to help people. It'll happen to you if that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to encourage people to do what is right. The Apostle Paul said, "If I become your enemy because I tell you the truth," that happens. And that's what the proverb writer says. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. A wise man receives rebuke. A wise man prepares ahead. He thinks about what's coming around the corner. He who gathers in the summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who calls his shame. Prepare. Do things in advance to prepare yourself for life. Receives instruction. Proverbs 10:8, Psalms 119 and verse 34. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Are we willing and ready and able to receive the instruction of God? That takes, again, humility. Cautious in speech. Proverbs 10 and verse 19 says, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." Sometimes, by the way, it's not so much what you say as what you don't say. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 2 says this, "The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness." The one who is wise, his speech is a fountain of life. Says and does things that are beneficial. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 14, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death." Proverbs 14 and verse 3, "In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them." Says and does things that are beneficial to others as well as himself. He departs from evil, Proverbs 14 and verse 16. And Proverbs 22 and verse 3. "A prudent man foresees evil and hates himself and hides himself. But the simple will pass on and be destroyed." Seeks to win souls, Proverbs 11 and verse 30. So we see all of these characteristics of wisdom. How important is wisdom in your life? See all the different areas that it affects. Now let's think about some specific life problems. For example, when it comes to temptation, wisdom is needed. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18, there we read that we are to know things beforehand. And that's exactly what the Apostle Peter says. The judgment is coming, he says, so therefore it is wise to know something. Verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You know what? That, again, gets back to something we said a little earlier. How important is it to seek knowledge and wisdom? To seek after that which God has revealed in His Word. We need to fill up our mind, fill our heart. That's what the psalmist said in Psalms 119. "I've hidden thy word in my heart that I may not sin against thee." The wise take preventative measures. Job, in Job 31 and verse 1, says, "I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon a woman." He has taken preventative measures in that he has made a covenant with himself. "This is what I am not going to do." That's a smart thing to do. That's wisdom.
You take preventative measures. In other words, don't put yourself in a position of temptation. Stay away from it. The wise distance themselves, and they are careful. Ephesians 5, 1 through 16. There are a lot of points in this passage that I wish we had time this morning to look at. But there's one in particular that I want to focus on. Ephesians chapter 5. He says in verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Do not have fellowship. Don't get around that which is wrong. Do not engage with them in that which is wrong. You distance yourself from them. And as he goes on, he says in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." The idea of walking circumspectly is to walk very carefully. It is like a police officer going into a realm of danger. He's got his gun cocked and ready. He's got it on, and he is being very cautious as to where he goes. The wise distance themselves, and they are careful. The wise watch. Jesus said in Matthew 25, and verse 2, as well as in chapter 26 and verse 41, you know what? Watch. Watch. Told his disciples to watch, lest they stumble, lest they fall. How often can you attribute some sin that you engage in to just simply not being as vigilant as you ought to be? We talked this morning in our Bible class about willful sin, presumptuous sin. That which we enter into knowing all along that it's wrong. Well, every sin that comes along takes place because we are tempted and we yield to that temptation. So how wise is it then to stay away from temptation, to distance ourselves from temptation, and to be always vigilant for such a temptation? Isn't that wise? Perhaps it's just that we do not recognize the seriousness of sin. The wise choose godly friends. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Chapter 5 and verse 6. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? We need to be careful whom we surround ourselves with. We've already made that point, but I think that's a point that needs to be brought home over and over again. You need to be careful with whom you associate. How much more important is the mate that you choose as a life companion? The wise escape. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, "There is no temptation that has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also provide a way of escape." The way is there. Guess what? The wise man chooses that escape. He chooses that. The wise man takes preventative measures. He distances himself from temptation. He's always vigilant. He chooses people who will help and encourage him, not lead him into temptation, but away from temptation. And he always looks for that way of escape, because temptation will come. You know, how wise is it? How wise is it to go somewhere, to put yourself in a situation, into a circumstance, where you know you're going to be tempted? How wise is that? I've told this story before. I'm going to tell it again. All the young people remember it. They know it. About Johnny and Lisa. They've heard it. We've talked about it in our Bible classes on Wednesday evenings. They know it. Johnny and Lisa. Johnny and Lisa were two young Christians, 16 years old. They've been dating for a couple of years. They've also been engaging in fornication. They've been hiding it, but they've been engaging in it. They had their own special spot down in a dark, secluded park where they would go with their car and park. Well, guilt began to overcome them both. And they talked about it, and they decided that it would be best for them just to break up. Just to stop seeing each other. Because they found it impossible to refrain from the temptation when they got in that position. That was a wise choice. It wasn't wise for them to do what they were doing to begin with, but now they needed to make a decision. And they made a wise choice not to see each other anymore because the temptation was too strong. Well, time went on. Days went by. In fact, months went by. They saw each other at school every day. Johnny would see Lisa in the cafeteria talking to her friends. In fact, some of them boys. Lisa would see Johnny talking to other girls. One evening, Lisa's laying on her bed doing her homework. And guess who calls? It's Johnny. Johnny wants to know if she'd like to go down to McDonald's and get a Coke. Harmless, innocent, going to McDonald's, getting a Coke. Well, she thinks about it, says yes. In a few minutes, here he is at the door. They go down to McDonald's, get a Coke. After that, they decide they need to go talk. So, guess where they decide to go talk? In that dark, secluded place in the park, in their car, and they talk. Talking eventually stops being talking. Guess what happens? Now, what would wisdom have done? You know, the fence, we need to remember that fence. We need to recognize that fence. We need to do all we can to keep ourselves out of those circumstances. Because let me tell you something, young man, young woman, you do not understand. You just don't realize how strong, how powerful those temptations are. Stay away from them. Stay away from them. Do you realize how serious sin is? Do you realize the consequences of what you're doing? We need to think about that. Discernment. Applying wisdom to life problems. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Colossians 1 and verse 9, we read a few moments ago, we need that wisdom, knowledge, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. We need to be able to discern between right and wrong. But the wise, they take that knowledge, that understanding, that spiritual understanding, and that wisdom, and they grow, and they learn, and they become effective citizens in the kingdom of heaven. They are active fruit bearers. Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14, the Hebrew brethren were being rebuked because they had not so grown. We need to be growing, learning, applying what we learn. Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. The proverb writer makes a very astute observation. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. We have a lot of folks around today who make decisions without all the evidence. They make their decisions regarding what religion they're going to follow. Not based on all of the evidence, that is the truth of God's Word. They base their evidence upon what they've heard from their parents or from their preacher or from some TV evangelist instead of taking what God says and looking at all of the evidence. And when someone comes along and says what, you know, or contradicts what they have always believed, oh, that can't be right because my preacher said you're saved by faith alone. That's what my preacher said. Was that taking all that? Let's look at the rest of the evidence. Let's look at the rest of what the Bible says about that. Yes, we're saved by faith. But where does the Bible ever say that you're saved by faith alone? Give me the passage. Doesn't say it. I can give you James 2:24. So we see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. That's what the Bible says. But we've got preachers. We've got this country, this world filled with preachers who say, no, friend, you're saved by faith alone. Let's take all of the evidence. Let's take all that the Bible says about every subject. But that also works in everyday life, doesn't it? We cannot make up our decisions. We cannot make up our minds based upon just a little bit of evidence. That's prejudicial judgment. What does that mean, by the way, prejudice? We always make a racial connotation with that, don't we? That's not really the idea of prejudicial. Pre, before, judge. That means we make a decision. We judge before we consider all the evidence or all of the facts. We base the conduct or the character of an individual based on the color of their skin or on the kind of clothes that they wear. By the way, you can know people by their fruits. But friend, let me tell you something. We need to stop being prejudiced, whether it's racial, whether it's economic, whatever it may be, and we need to look at all of the evidence. You don't know whether you can reach somebody's heart. I don't care how many studs they have sticking out of their ears or their nose until you talk with them about the Scriptures. Wisdom weighs all of the evidence. Wisdom prevents extremes. Ecclesiastes 7, verses 16 through 18, do not be overly righteous. That does not mean do not obey God all the time. That's not what that means. It means that you can swing to the opposite extreme from being too liberal. You can go to the opposite extreme to where you think that you can force everybody to be right. And let me give you an illustration of this. Let's say that you were in Afghanistan. Okay? You're in Afghanistan and you're walking down Main Street of Kabul. And you've got this big sign in your hand that says, be a Christian or go to hell. And you're walking down the street with that big sign. Now what do you think is going to happen to you? I know what's going to happen to you. You're going to be arrested, you're going to be thrown in jail, and you're likely to be put to death. Even in Afghanistan. That's not wise, is it? Now, is there anything wrong with walking down a street with a sign that says, be a Christian? No. But we need to think. We need to think and be wise. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Don't bring upon yourself undue danger because of your faith in Christ. That's the idea. But it prevents extremes also in another area. From the standpoint that truth is always balanced. You can fall off a log on either side. And the problem that many find themselves in is that they are binding things that God has never bound. That is just as wrong as loosening that which God has bound. Just as wrong. We cannot bind upon other people that which God has not bound. We need to be careful about that. Wisdom prevents extremes. And finally, in the area of the trials of life. In Matthew the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27, we all are very familiar with this text. Build your house upon the rock. We talked about this, in fact, last week. If I build my house upon the rock, then when the trials of life come, I'm going to sustain, I'm going to endure. But this is accomplished by hearing and doing. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The trials of life are faced and they are met by hearing God's Word and doing God's Word. Taking confidence in what God has revealed. And I want you to turn in your Bibles with me, though, now to James chapter 1. James, the first chapter, deals with trials. In the first section of this chapter, he deals, in fact, all the way down through verse 12, deals with the trials, the persecutions, tribulations that come upon Christians for being Christians. Beginning in verse 13, he talks about being tempted to do that which is evil. By the way, being persecuted because of your faith can cause you or lead you or tempt you to turn away from the Lord. It has happened before. But in verses 1 through 12, beginning in verse 1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now,
may I ask this question before I read the next verse? What is it that we need in order to persevere through these trials? You say patience. Yes. Faith. Yes. But you know what else? Listen to what he says in verse 5. If any of you lacks what? Wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Yes, you must have faith. Faith produces patience. But now, how are you going to persevere through all of this? You've got to act wisely. You've got to see things as they really are. You have to see things through the eyes of faith. That's wisdom in action. You take what you know and you apply it to that particular circumstance. That circumstance is trial, tribulation. All right? You take your faith and you apply it. Ask of faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. We need wisdom. Knowledge, faith, patience, we must ask. Maybe you notice on the picture that's on the screen there. You have Christians. Those are supposed to be Christians anyway. Can you tell where they are? They're in the Colosseum in Rome. That's where they are. And there's a lion standing there looking at them. And maybe, I don't know if you can tell, but there are posts sticking up around the perimeter of the Colosseum. On those posts are Christians. Because they're Christians, they're being persecuted. They're being thrown to the lions. That's what happened literally to Christians in the first century. They were set on fire because when it got dark, the Romans didn't want to stop their games. They wanted to be able to see what was going on. So they set Christians on fire so they could see what was happening. Now, brethren needed wisdom back then to know how to deal with all of that, to keep out of trouble to begin with, and to know how to deal with the trouble if they found themselves in it. How important is wisdom? In relationships, this is finally, by the way, Nabal and Abigail, 1 Samuel 25, verses 2 through 39. David comes wanting help for his troops. Guess what he finds from Nabal? A terrible reception. He needed some water, he needed some food, and Nabal says no. David's fixing to go in and destroy everything that Nabal has. But Abigail, Nabal's wife, rushes out, meets David, takes him a bunch of food, pleads with him not to destroy her family. Tact of Abigail. Maybe you've heard of that. That's wisdom. But what about congregational problems in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18? James oftentimes is related to the book, is spoken of in relationship with the book of Proverbs. It is a book of wisdom in the New Testament. And in James, the 3rd chapter, verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are. But, contrastive coupling, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle, with willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You have two kinds of wisdom mentioned in this text. You have the earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom, that which is from below, which produces envy, self-seeking, confusion, evil things. That's on one hand. But then you have another kind of wisdom, that which is from above, that is pure and peaceable and gentle and willing to yield. You don't have to have your way all the time. You're merciful. You're compassionate. You're thinking about others. Good fruits. You're doing that which is good and right and conducive to relationships. You're impartial. And you're not hypocritical. You're sincere. And you want peace. You're striving for peace. But when people are envious, they're self-seeking, they're confused, what is going to be the product of that? Two kinds of wisdom. By the way, this wisdom, where it comes from where? It comes from above. It comes from God. And that's what we need. We need to be wise. We need to seek God's wisdom so that we can make wise choices in life. Every decision that we make, again, it impacts our life. One wise decision could positively impact the rest of your life, the rest of your future. That goes into eternity. Just like one foolish decision can destroy your life, one wise decision can set you on the course for joy, peace, and happiness, and eternal life. Turning from sin, turning to Jesus Christ who died for you so that your sins can be forgiven, and live forever. Is that what you want? Do you want to know how to be happy in life? Do you want to know how to be joyful? How to enjoy life? Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Seek His wisdom. By the way, it begins with humility. And if you are wise, you will choose to serve the Lord. In fact, that's how we can discern between a wise man and a foolish man, isn't it? The wise man hears and does. The foolish man hears but doesn't do. That's the difference between a wise man and a foolish man. Are you willing to apply the knowledge that God has given to you in His Word? If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Why not? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Then why not take the next step? Confess Him. Confess Him as Lord. Now, you need to do something else. You need to repent of your sins. Have you turned away from sin? Are you willing to turn to the Lord? If so, then why not? Why not do that? Be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, and you'll be raised to walk in newness of life. Why not become a Christian right now? Is there anything we can do to help you? Won't you come? Together we stand. Sing the song of consolation for your encouragement.